Morning, everybody. I'm going to speak to you in English, and I think Alma's going to address you in Albanian. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. I see on the list of attendees I'm described as independent, and I want to celebrate that. It's taken me years and years to get to that position. I'm really a pretend academic, so I did a very small piece of work in this project, which was to work with the managers to prepare them to support and encourage and do all the other things which help to embed the learning from the project into practice. This is my one and only slide. It's not much to show for a very long career, but I'll do my best to take you through it. This has come about because of an obsession I've had for a long time with how to embed the very enormous amount of learning that goes on, the amount of training that goes on in social care back into practice. My anxiety has been that so much learning happens and then it boils off, it evaporates, because the learners don't have the opportunity to embed it in practice. Rhoda and I worked together some years ago, and what we did was have a look at other industries to see what it is that supports transfer of learning into practice. And interestingly, there's very, very little written about how you embed learning from social care training into practice. So in fact, all of the literature is from other industries, and it was from nursing, medicine, teaching, flying, airline pilots were in there, among other professions. And interestingly, the themes are the same across all of those industries. It's the same things that help embed learning into practice. So basically, the key to transfer of learning into practice, this will not be a great surprise to you, is actually the manager of the learner and the culture of the organisation. Those two things interplaying. And where I got to in my thinking about this was to think about a before training column, which is what we've got there on the far left. Then there's the training event itself in the middle, and then you've got after the learning or training event on the far right. Basically, the very best way to embed learning into practice is to spend an enormous amount of time on this first column, which is literally before it happens, and the objective is to make sure that by the time learners come to the learning event or the training program, they're a little bit higher up than they would have been if that preparation hadn't been done. I'm going to try moving across to this now and point, so I'll have to shout. Okay, if learners come to the event unprepared, they start here. If all this preparation is done beforehand, they start here. So you're already quids in, you're ahead of the game. So this is along the bottom is time, and this here is learning, okay? And the objective is to get people as high as possible up to here by the end of the learning programme. So if you can start them off well, that's clearly an advantage. And what goes into the preparation is bringing participants, their managers, the commissioners of the training, and the training together before the programme so that you can agree what the learning needs are and therefore set the learning objectives with people who are going to come on the programme. Now, it may be representatives of that group rather than all of them. But then what you can start to do is think about the practice opportunities which need to be made available for learners at the end of the programme. So the practice opportunities take place during that flat bit on the far column. Okay? So they need to be thought about and discussed before the programme ever begins, so that the managers are working on those while the practitioners or whoever it is are on the training programme. I hope that's making sense. The other aspect, of course, at the beginning is if the programme is going to be properly evaluated, and I mean evaluated in terms of the impact it makes on people's practice, then those evaluation methods need to be agreed at the start, because you need to start collecting data before the programme actually begins, so that you've got a before and after, so that you can weigh up exactly what change there's been in the meantime due to the programme. We know quite a lot about what makes a good learning program. There's plenty written about that. And that's what goes on in that middle column, which is about during the program itself. The third column is about trying to extend the length of time in which people, participants, hold on to their learning. I'm going to get down and shout again. So basically, what you're wanting to do is keep this line going as long as possible before the drop-off that Andy was referring to. Because this drop-off is very, very wasteful. I'm sure you've all been there, I certainly have. I trained as a family therapist. It was a very, very expensive training. And I never got a chance, because of the organisation I was working in, to actually do family therapy. So it's hideously wasted. So this drop-off happened relatively quickly. So the objective for everybody is to keep that line going as long as possible, which is about people holding on to their learning. The sorts of things that need to be happening at that point are support for practice opportunities, opportunities to review the learning and the practice change through things like team meetings, supervision sessions, practice reviews, developmental groups, and so on. The sorts of things also that have been discussed as part of the practitioner research program, and also the critical reflection groups, and of course completing the evaluation. There's quite a lot of research evidence that shows if learning programs are evaluated, they make a bigger impact on practice. Now, that's not really surprising, but it's a very useful thought. Now, you'll notice if you're near enough to the front, I'm not sure if it shows up at the back, is that in the far left-hand column, you've got an arrow that starts to go up. Can you see that at the back? Great. What that's showing is that if people can hold on to their learning and then try it in practice, actually, their learning increases. So they know more some time after the end of the program than they did when the program itself finished, because they've actually managed to have a go at it and put it into practice. I think that's probably all I want to say, really. I'm going to hand over to Alma. Do try and speak in English, they'll find it so
much better. Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Alma Cope, the team leader of the specialist fostering team, and one of my staff was a practitioner who took part in this research. I think what I really wanted to focus on, I'm going to concise it because I will eat into the breaking time, is I had appreciated that a lot of work needed to be done at the very beginning, at this stage here, and I really value the time that's given to us as a manager to try and think about some of the themes that would go with the project like this. And I think one of the biggest ones that spoke to me is about that instilling the cultural change and the learning culture. So I kind of focused too much in trying to promote, so to motivate and promote at the very beginning, and then looked at the very end and what we're going to do thereafter, but I haven't really appreciated the middle ground in a way, and some of the complexities that come from that. So in the beginning, what I had that kind of can-do attitude and found out more and understood what the project was about, really motivating, and actually choosing perhaps a member of staff was better suited to this type of work. At the middle stage, as a manager, there were things that came out that perhaps caught me unprepared in a way, because it's the kind of everybody types of managing competing priorities. It's how do we keep that in a way that other things that seem more important take over? And in that, really valuing the practitioner in terms of protecting her time and just giving her a little bit of space. I was really fortunate that she was very good at self-managing and using quite a lot of her own initiative and quite a lot of her own time to make this achievable. I'm really proud that she's actually finalized her work. But in that, it was the guidance, the support, and the help to reflect. And when the anxiety reached that critical point at times, making this monstrous task into bites, you know, kind of small size, bite size in a way, that actually were easily taken upon, and really supporting the rest of the team in this, because what are the main factors that can actually facilitate the learning culture, the change, if the balance is not quite right, can actually become a barrier. Some of the, you know, working as an individual, working independently, it's about really involving the rest of the team. It can be a very isolating place not to have. So really making the team participate in this as much as possible and providing that support to the members of staff, but to the collective team at the same time. So this, from being through this experience, I'd say that it's just as important to prepare for this and think about the outcome. It's really important to provide that learning environment and that kind of nurturing environment within the team, and get away from the kind of competitiveness, so, you know, who's doing what and what's more important than the other, because the work that we do is equally important. And in terms of the third step, it's really interesting now where we take what we have found out, how practice informs us in how we evaluate ourselves, how we put things in place to really enrich and reinforce what we do. And I would be also more interested to know what we do in connection with Mark and the Edinburgh University as we progress, you know, in this line of work and really keep alive that learning culture. Both myself and Christine are really keen to that very small practitioner issues that we have worked on to actually promote it, have it talked to with the rest of the teams, with the rest of the people, with the rest of the foster care teams that we work with. But I'm really interested about how do we keep that practice? How do we then go on to do other pieces of research? How can we build on it? So that, I don't have the answer quite yet, but I have some sort of idea and a vision that I'd like to take. So that's me.
Okay, so thanks very much for your listening this morning. Thanks to the presenters. It's a fairly intimidating task to come up here and do that. So thanks very much.